Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. With just over a week before East Germany's first free elections, experts from the two Germanies met in East Berlin today to begin negotiating a return to one Germany. The talks are low-key but historic, with many anxious spectators. Jesse Schulman is covering.
Today's meeting is the first step along what is likely to be a long diplomatic road under the formula 2 plus 4. The goal, a unified Germany the rest of the world can live with. Today it's the two, East and West Germany. High-ranking diplomats of the two countries are preparing for next week when they'll be joined by the four, France, Britain, the Soviet Union, and the United States. The idea is for the two Germanies to move towards unity under the encouraging but watchful eye of the wartime victors over Nazi Germany and to work out the military allegiances of the new united German state. One complication already looming, Poland wants to join the talks. Polish leaders have said Bonn's promises the current border with Poland won't be touched have not so far been firm enough. Jesse Schulman for CBS News, Berlin.
North Korean strongman Kim Il-sung is reportedly stepping down on April 15th, his 78th birthday, handing over power to his son and long-designated heir, Kim Jong-il. Japan's Kyoto News Agency reports the elder Kim will retain some of the power he's held since 1948. After weeks of inter-Christian fighting, which has devastated East Beirut and killed more than 800 people, strongman Michelle Aoun now says it was all a mistake. He says the conflict is over and that he now realizes violence isn't the answer. He called for peace talks with a rival Christian warlord and with Muslim leaders to settle Lebanon's long civil war. Oliver North will take the stand today at the Iran-Contra trial of former National Security Advisor John Poindexter. Correspondent Rob Armstrong reports.
North is a government witness, but a reluctant one. He does not want to appear against his former boss, but he will testify under a grant of immunity. The judge in the case has denied a defense motion to limit North's testimony. In opening statements yesterday, the chief government lawyer, Dan Webb, said Poindexter personally lied to Congress and obstructed congressional investigations into the Iran-Contra affair. Poindexter's lawyer, Richard Beckler, told the jury that the evidence will show that no crimes were committed, that Poindexter was carrying out the policies of President Ronald Reagan, and that he never broke the law. Webb hammered at the theme of cover-up, deceit, and concealment. Beckler sowed the seeds of politics, telling the jury that it's political events that bring this man into this courtroom. The trial is expected to last 7 weeks or more, with a roster of celebrity witnesses expected, including the videotaped testimony of former President Ronald Reagan. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, U.S. District Court, Washington.
Before Daniel Ortega's Sandinistas surrender power in Nicaragua, they're trying to get laws passed, giving away large amounts of government property and guaranteeing immunity from any crimes committed in the 11-year Sandinista era, up to and including murder. More from newsman Bill Gasparini in Managua.
Nicaraguan opposition leaders say they fear a general anarchy could grip Nicaragua if the National Assembly passes a law prohibiting prosecution for crimes committed through the end of this month. Business leader Ramiro Gurbian says the Sandinistas want to pass the law to grant themselves immunity from charges the new opposition government might make against them. He asks how an outgoing government can pass such laws.
I believe it's immoral for a government to be passing laws very quick.
Gurbian says the situation is dangerous because Sandinista activists are distributing guns to their supporters around the Nicaraguan countryside. Sandinistas, disappointed by their loss at the polls last week, are saying the people have to prepare for a possible civil war. Bill Gasparini for CBS News, Managua.
Mass demonstrations in Haiti have called for the ouster of dictator Prosper Avril, who on Wednesday indicated he's willing to step down for a civilian government. At least two people were killed yesterday by army fire in Port-au-Prince. In Texas, a final campaign weekend is coming up for those seeking party nominations to replace outgoing Governor Bill Clements. Politics in the Lone Star State is seldom dull, and as Scott Pelley tells us, 1990 is no exception.
As Election Day grows nearer, the Texas gubernatorial primary gets meaner, with suggestions of drug use and dirty money among Democratic candidates. Last night, in a televised debate, frontrunner Ann Richards continued to evade questions on whether she has ever used illegal drugs. She answers by urging addicts to seek help.
My response has been that my message to the people out there is that I want you to get help, and you can put your past behind you.
Richards' top opponent, former Governor Mark White, wants the drug question answered. Richards has counterattacked with TV ads claiming White became a millionaire as governor.
The worst resume money can buy.
White responded in the debate.
You know better than what you're saying on television. You know it's a lie.
The Republican primary is tame by comparison. Multimillionaire cowboy industrialist Clayton Williams is the front runner. Among the Democrats, however, the drug issue appears to be pulling support from Richards, and it may take a runoff to decide who the Democratic candidate will be. Scott Pelley, CBS News, Dallas.
A Senate agreement with the White House on a clean air bill threatens to evaporate today. An issue is whether the government should provide $700 million in assistance to coal miners who lose their jobs because of pollution controls. Senate leaders, perhaps short of votes, last night delayed bringing that assistance to a vote. In Great Britain, the tax revolt continued for a fourth night, sometimes violently. These Londoners vented their anger in Hackney. Crowds angered by the new poll tax battled police, looted stores, and paraded effigies of Prime Minister Thatcher. Dozens of people were injured or arrested. Critics say the new tax is unfair. It taxes each adult in a household instead of the value of the property. The average household would pay nearly $400 more. Public anger over that tax has sent the Conservatives' popularity plunging to the lowest level in a decade. No action is expected in the week-old Greyhound bus strike until next week, when union leaders meet in Washington with federal mediators. Meanwhile, some 9,000 drivers and other employees remain on strike, and the nation's only coast-to-coast bus company is running just a fraction of its normal schedule with replacement drivers. Small-town America is especially dependent on long-haul buses. Joe Warner is the mayor of Salina, Kansas.
The hardest hit people are the elderly and the low-income people. Certainly they have less means by which to get around the area in the Middle West, and the strike is having certainly an effect on them.
The last strike against Greyhound in 1983 lasted 48 days. Once again in February, the nation's civilian unemployment rate held rock steady at 5.3%, right where it's been for nine straight months. The jobless rate for black men improved to 10.5%. White House spokesman Fitzwater denies a report President Bush is angry at Fed Chairman Greenspan for not lowering interest rates and will replace him next year. In Dallas last night, the start of the Nintendo World Championships, which will travel to 34 cities and culminate in November in Orlando. Along the way, about a million contestants will try their hand, racking up points with the Super Mario Brothers, Rad Racer, and Tetris. The dollar is higher overseas. London gold is down over $2, and on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrials are off a fraction. It's 7:10.